fifth case on the call, United States versus Lewis, appeal number 083155.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Donna Idy. I represent James King. At counsel table is Mr. Fagan, who represents Mr. Lewis. May it please the court and counsel. This case, I think, presents a rather unusual combination of circumstances that warrants relief by the Court of Appeals. Both defendants were convicted after a trial in connection with the sting operation that I think this court is familiar with. I've seen several cases in which this particular sting operation was used. And the defendants in this case are asking only for a remand for resentencing. And I might add that even if they were to get a remand for resentencing, they would have still pretty significant penalties. But Mr. King's sentence was 420 months, 35 years. Mr. Lewis's sentence was 25 years, 3,300 months. And having sat here and listened to the cases before this one, I was struck at how severe these sentences are compared to sentences in what I think any person would think would be a more serious offense. But as I said, the court is familiar with this sting operation. I don't think I need to go into the facts of it too much. But the facts that warrant a remand for resentencing are these. This is a sting operation in which the defendants were brought into the undercover operation by Joaquin Tanque, who subsequently pled guilty. So he's not with us today. Prior to the trial, the government got a proffer from Mr. Tanque in which he said that the plan was not to rob the stash house occupants, the plan was to rob the couriers of the drugs. Mr. Lewis and Mr. King filed many motions, in particular one asking for a bill of particulars, asking the government to articulate its theory of the case, that is, whether or not...
The defendant testified.
I'm sorry?
I said neither defendant testified.
Right.
How do you advance that theory then?
Well, the only way they could...
The stash house that was the target, if that's all what Gomez testified.
It's a tricky thing. The only way they could have advanced it would be, one, to call Mr. Tanque, who I am advised, I was not trial counsel, but I'm advised that he was said he was unavailable and that he would take the fifth if he were called. So other than calling the defendants, counsel for the defendants did the only thing they could do, which was argue in closing argument that the evidence showed that they weren't capable, really, of robbing the stash house. They didn't have the guns. They didn't have the tape. They didn't have the wherewithal to get it done. So they did what they could as they made the argument that they were...
It's a tough argument to make if you don't...
Well, I mean,
testify.
Yeah, because it has to... It's also difficult because they kind of have to concede that they were up to some crime and not the worst crime. But in this case, I think there is substantial evidence that the government had that the plan was to rob the stash house, and then the trial evidence also corroborates that because there were no heavy artillery, as I said.
But then we also have a situation, even if you look, because it was really a circumstantial argument about the whole, they were trying to rob him, not the stash house. But there weren't any jury instructions proposed or special verdict forms to clarify the target was a robbery either.
There weren't. And
which, you know, sort of suggests that there wasn't enough evidence to support such an instruction. But,
well,
I
don't think it suggests that. I think it suggests maybe that the counsel probably given up. They tried every which way from Sunday to find out which theory the government was advancing on this case. And they didn't find out until rebuttal closing that the government was saying, well, it was either one, and if it was they were going to rob the courier, then there was blah, blah, blah evidence showing the courier would have X amount of drugs. Well, there was no evidence of what the courier would have. So the government, in making that alternative argument in rebuttal closing, I think did similar to what the government would do if they charged a crime in the disjunctive, either or.
And so you're saying defense counsel never raised this dilemma of what was the government's theory going to be before closing argument or before
No, they did. They raised it in asking for the bill of particulars and asking...
Oh, just on the bill of particulars. But in terms of suggesting then at the instruction conference, submitting the instruction, and that would have certainly gotten the government off the dime.
Well, yeah.
You know, to know exactly what the theory was. I just don't understand how you go in the closing argument and you don't know what the government's theory is and you don't get, can't get that clarified by the court.
Well, that's exactly what happened here. They tried to get it clarified beforehand and they couldn't.
No, but the bill of particulars, that had bridge, that water, that bridge had been crossed.
Right.
I'm saying, okay, that was done. But once you get to closing argument time and it's time to do jury instructions, I mean, at that point, defense was entitled to know what the government's theory was, and that wasn't requested at that time.
Well, not afterwards. It wasn't. But, you know, it was the government's argument in the alternative in its rebuttal closing that created the problem. If the government had just said in its rebuttal, there's no evidence that they were going to rob the courier, they were always going to rob the stash house, and the quantity was 20 kilos, there wouldn't be a problem. But the government didn't do that. The government made an alternative argument that the defense heard for the first time ever and made an argument about how much cocaine the courier would have. Now, maybe after that happened, they should have asked for a
because there was nothing done after that either.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, like when something like that happens, because it is not unheard of for the court to give
a special verdict instruction.
Yes. Yeah, to give a special instruction, because the instructions hadn't been read at that point, had they? I don't think Judge Reinhart reads the instructions before closing argument. That's done sometimes in civil cases.
Right. I don't know the answer to that question.
Additional instructions can be given after closing to cure.
Right. In that event, Your Honor, I would ask if the court finds that that was a forfeited point because they didn't ask for a special verdict instruction. I emphasize, I mean, it's not like the defense counsel were sitting there not trying. They tried everything they could prior to this to get to avoid this issue, and then the issue comes up just as they had predicted. If the court finds that there was a forfeiture in not asking for a special verdict, I submit that there's plain error here because this court has no way of knowing truly what the jury found. Did the jury buy the government's argument that they could have been robbing the courier and it could have been more than 5 kilos? We don't know what the jury found. We don't know if the jury found that they were always going to rob the stash house or how they came out. And it was the government's alternative argument that the defense sought to get throughout the case that created the problem. So if the court finds that there's a forfeiture not asking for a special verdict form, then we would ask the court to invoke its plein air discretionary judgment and remand the case for resentencing based on the lower amount. I would note, and I think the court is aware, that even the district court judge thought that the evidence supported the scenario plan B, that they were going to rob the courier, and announced that at the close of the trial evidence. So it's not as if this was a wild theory the defense counsel had. My time is up. If the court has no other questions, I'll save time for rebuttal.
Mr. Fagan?
He's going to do rebuttal.
You're going to do the rebuttal.
We filed a joint brief, so our positions are good.
All righty. Mr. Pedersen?
May it please the court. It's the government's position that the district court did not err in denying the defendant's motion for a bill of particulars, and further that even if the district court had granted the defendant's motion, it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the trial because the government still would have been entitled to respond to the defendant's arguments in closing argument, which they raised for the first time, that the intent was to rob the courier and not the stash house. The government, even if the government had announced that its theory of the case, and which it had done in its opening statement, the government never advanced the theory that the intent was to rob the courier at any point during the trial until the defendants raised that argument in their closing argument. And when the government addressed it, all we said was that even if the intent was to rob the courier, and we couched that at the very time we said that with even though the evidence does not support that conclusion, and there's no evidence that the intent was to rob the stash house. But even if that, or rob the courier, but even if there was evidence that supported the theory that the intent was to rob the courier, the defendants would still be guilty of the conspiracy and the attempt to possess cocaine with the intent to distribute it. But the other point that goes along with that, though, is that we know what the jury's conclusion was regarding whether the intent was to rob the courier or the stash house based on their conclusion as to quantity. Because as the record shows, there is no evidence, there is no testimony from Special Agent Gomez or any evidence on the recordings that he ever indicated how much cocaine he would pick up when he would go to the stash house. So the only evidence of quantity was the amount that would be inside the stash house at the time it was robbed. So the district court did not err, therefore, in denying the defendant's motion for a bill of particulars. Further, the evidence did support the jury's finding that the amount of cocaine that was the object of the conspiracy and the attempt to possess with the intent to distribute was more than 5 kilograms. For those reasons, we ask that you affirm the district court's sentence. Thank you.
Okay. I guess you have 2 minutes, Mr. Fagan.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. Robert Fagan for Mr. King and Mr. Lewis. May I please the court? Judge, this reverse sting case is kind of unique, both legally speaking and factually speaking. We believe when you put the two together, it merits the court's remand for resentencing. The reason it's unique, Judge, is that everyone involved in the case prior to the trial and during the trial knew what the alternative theory was, except the jury. And for the reasons that Ms. Ide has suggested and the court has acknowledged, it was almost impossible for trial counsel to have brought forth that theory through any type of testimonial evidence. We were precluded from, we knew we would be precluded from calling Mr. Tanky because we were informed that he would be unavailable because he would be taking advantage of his rights under the Fifth Amendment. In this case, Judge, the thing that's the most egregious, we believe, is that the government had unilateral control over the punishment of these two individuals. It was reasonably foreseeable that, indeed, there was an alternate theory here, and that was because of the actual circumstantial evidence that was presented at trial. The absence of the heavy weaponry, the absence of any other types of equipment or accoutrement which might be needed to take over a stash house of this type. As Ms. Ide pointed out, it was the district court's conclusion, and a district court judge who had been on the bench for 19 years, who made a statement at the end of the charge to the jury, which was completely out of the blue and completely out of the norm. So we believe, Your Honors, that because of the plain error power that the court has, that you should remand the case for resentencing so that a reasonable sentence can be obtained for these two individuals. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The case will be taken under advisement, as will the appeal of the third defendant here who was submitted on Nander's brief. Thank you to Ms. Ide and Mr. Fagan for taking the appointment here and vigorously arguing the case for your clients. Thank you.